Glad you found us this morning, and with no signs up. Somebody took our signs down at the pavilion already. But everybody knows who knows that this is where H. Lee's letting us meet. And on good days, we'll be outside. It's so beautiful out there in the courtyard. So we inside, outside, upside down, any way you want to go, we can be here for you. Thank you for making it out in the rainy weather. We appreciate that. Thank Bob for making the announcements. And don't tell him you don't like him. He's too big. Just like the announcements. And Patsy does hers so well. And went to see the Wise family. Saw little Bradley and Frankie. And Bradley's learning to swim. He got on the rug and was going like this with his little nubs. Looked like a turtle. I mean, he had legs. And he did. I said, he looked like a sea. I said, what is he doing? And Sylvia says, well, he's telling you he's learning how to swim. And I said, well, isn't that good? So they're teaching a little fella how to swim. He's learning how to do a computer. And he can make sentences now. Now, this is a little fella that wasn't supposed to learn anything. And now he can take the computer and do the arrow. And he's got to turn pages. The boy rides the bicycle. He's got to turn to find thee, then put in boy. And he can do it. I said, there's no telling how smart this little kid is. He's ahead of me on the computer already. And we had a good visit with them. And if you have, anybody ain't got a pool table they want to get rid of, Frankie wants a pool table. And if you have one, let me know. And we'll get it for the little boy. The Lord is good. They went to see a free organ, one of these kind of like Paul's here, you know, it'll do everything. And the guy said, I paid $2,500 for it, and I will not take, before I give it away, I'll put it on the porch and let it rot. And she said, well, all right. I said, we'll deal after a while. I said, and finally, other people coming and all. And he said, well, $300 is the least I'll take for it. And she said, well, is it a good one? He said, well, I bought it new, and I was going to learn to play. And he took one finger and one note, and that's as far as he got on the thing. Do, 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 she said, and it'll sound like saxophone, do, 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 and a guitar, do, do, do. And she said, you mind letting a little boy play? He said, no, he can play. So he's looking for row, row, row your boat. And Frankie sits down, he'll unload on you. And then he's changing the violin, and, here you go. And he said, wow, so that is something. She said, what will you take, bottom line? And he said, are you a rich woman? And Siri said, oh, yeah. And he looked at her and said, you are? She said, well, I'm rich in the Lord. And he said, just a minute. And went and talked to his wife and came back and said, sit there a minute till these people go. We're going to deal on this thing. And they finally left. And he said, your husband got a truck. He said, either come get this Friday. He can have this. I'll give it to him. And I'll bring it to him if he hadn't got a truck. They said, well, we'll get it Friday. And I said, Lord's good. Gave Frankie an organ. So that's good. And we're glad of that. So it was so precious to see those two again. And Bradley can say, and Greenway, when he says it all at once. So and Greenway. And called me Ever. Ever. And so he'll steal your heart. So we... what else do we need? Monday night, tomorrow night, I have a tape of Ray Comfort, who's an evangelist, debating Mr. Barrier, who is the spokesman for the United States Atheist Association. And there we're having their big meeting in Orlando, Florida, and he scheduled you to debate, and they debated, and you need to see that. I haven't seen it yet. I've got the video, and tomorrow will be first time I see it, but I know it's wonderful, and it'll help you a whole lot with things you've heard and questions you've had, and it will answer a whole lot of questions. I'm sure that Ray ate him alive, and you'll see how that is done and where atheism has nothing to stand on. I don't think they opened the meeting with prayer, but it was a good meeting, and wasn't nobody to pray to. So what else we got? Yeah, my car broke down in the middle of the woods. I don't need to tell that story. I made it home. And it's an AME church between Rockingham and Wadesboro. 30 degrees, and there I am. shucking and jiving with my flashlight, trying to get somebody to stop. Shine it on me and smile so they'd know I was nice. And it didn't help. Ann always said, you got a face that would stop a truck. And if one finally stopped, and I said, she was right. And he called the highway patrol. First time I was glad to see them, and they came up and took me to a motel. So we made it all right, thank the Lord. And it was something. So if you are here for the first time, we're glad you're here. This is where we'll be meeting, thanks to H. Lee. And when you see him, be sure to thank him, him and Pam. They don't have to let us be here. They do out of the kindness of their heart. How good that they would let us do that. Do we have anybody here for the first time? Anybody at all? All right, we welcome you. Folks from Raleigh, I met you coming in the door. Yeah. All right, good. That's wonderful. Well, we just lost three. But they work with us. It's all right. We're so glad you're here. And if you brought a Bible, you can be turning to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is where we will read from and expound on the last of the last days. So we shall pray and then we'll read the scriptures and expound them. My gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for a beautiful day. I used to own an airplane that you gave me, and I know above those clouds it is blue and bright. You got to wear sunglasses. So we thank you for another beautiful day. We thank you for beautiful people who decided to come this way, regardless of the weather, to hear the word of God and to worship you. And that is our purpose in being here. Thank you so much. Thank you for H. Lee and Pam letting us use their facilities to meet and to do what we do. We're so grateful for that and you providing it. Ask that you remove me from this place. As always, that anything I say that should be forgotten, please make it be. Anything that should be remembered, please have it be, that in the end that the church be edified and you be glorified and the man nearest hell be saved. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. And for his sake, amen. So we hear a lot about the last days. Please understand, when the scriptures talk about the last days, you have to be discerning in what part of those last days they are. The last days it speaks of began with when Jesus was here. Those are the last days. It's been 2,000 years, people will tell me. That was a long time. So you don't read carefully. The Bible says 1,000 years to him is like a day, and a day like 1,000 years. In his eyes, he's been gone 2 days. And yours has been 2,000 years. And so where he is, they don't have time. They don't wear Rolexes and don't even make them. So we have to go with his time. But we're in the last of the last days. In fact, just talking to Bobby McGinnis, we watch Hal Lindsey. I missed him this week. I was out of town. And he said, Hal said, no, we're not in the last days. We're in the last hours. And went on to appreciate that and tell us all about it, which we believe. Good news to me. I didn't want to die anyway. And so we're glad we get to ride up, and I hope you'll be with us. So we read in chapter 3 at the verse 1 through 9. It says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. For their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs was also. And here, don't get mad at Paul when he says silly women. That word in the original means little women, meaning unaware of little knowledge of what's going on. These people come into their houses and lead them astray, because it happens today. There's certain people that knock on your door and they bring a Bible and you don't have one. You don't know what to say, and they're prepared and you aren't, and they give you every wind of doctrine. If you don't know any better, you'll go for it. And it's even happening today. So that's what Paul means when he says little women there. Now back in the time when the Salvation Army started. There was a man named William Booth, and he became the general, of course, starting the Salvation Army. And William Booth was a preacher, and he wanted to preach the truth, and the denomination didn't care to hear it anymore. So they wouldn't give him a church. He said, okay, it won't stop me from preaching. I'll go and preach to the harlots in the street and the drunkards in the gutters and the thieves and the malefactors up and down London streets. And I'll just get on the street corner and preach. You know, I'm keeping me from preaching. And so he started that, and they threw him out to keep him from having a church, and he ended up, he had the biggest one ever built, because the Salvation Army goes all over the world. And still working today. And they'd get out there when people could walk downtown safely. I remember them as a kid, you'd see them, and they'd have somebody with a trumpet and a drum and the tambourines and very holy Christian people. And then one of them would give a message when they drew a little crowd. And they did that all over the nation. And this good man started that because he loved the Lord. But William Booth said, the chief danger of the 20th century will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell. And I read that and I said, he wasn't a prophet, but he sure was a good predictor, because that is exactly what has taken place. And it goes along with what we read in chapter 3. Every time you read this, the people who don't know, they will say, well, that's any generation. You could apply that to any generation. And that's true. Most of it could apply to any generation. But I just thought it was interesting that William Booth had put all that together and without even consulting this, just knew about it, of course, that he labeled it like that. So I said, that's a good outline, Bill. I appreciate that. I'll use that tomorrow morning. So we'll talk about his outline that he just spoke of, that in the 20th century that there'd be religion without the Holy Spirit of God. And that has come true. It used to be that anybody who followed Christianity at all, it was pretty well automatic that you were a Trinitarian, that you believed in the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is the way you heard it. You never were subject to anything else, because that's the way it is, and that's the Godhead, and that's what Scripture teaches from back to front, and it has so many references to it that it is foolish for a man to stand up and try to combat the Trinity when he's talking about Christianity. But anti-Trinitarian religions are everywhere. All of the other religions don't believe in the Trinity. And if you want to stop the cults coming to your door, that's a good place to start right there. Tell me who Jesus is. Give me his identification. Well, he's the Son of God. Don't try to fool me. Is he deity? Is he God? And they'll stop right there and say, what about the Holy Spirit of God? What do you believe about that? They have none. Or they'll make it some grotesque figment of their imagination. And all these religions of the world that have no Spirit of God, that have the Holy Spirit of God, who do not dwell in them, they're not going anywhere but in a hole in the ground, then go to hell. That's the end of that. If you know not the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit, and he hasn't come to you because you accepted the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, for the forgiveness of your sins, and all this put together by the Father, then you're not going anywhere. And you can be religious as you want and, you know, pray seven times a day on your rug. I don't care if it takes off and flies with you. You're not going anywhere. And you can do all the religious little old things that they have you do. I've never seen so much concoction in religion in my life, of things they will have you do in hopes to help you be forgiven and to reach heaven, or to reach, as some of the religions have, the Buddhists. I was reading about them. They believe that they're striving to reach nothingness. Doesn't seem like much of a goal to me, but if they want to do that, fine. So they sit on the side of the mountain contemplating nothingness and contemplating things like the sound of one hand clapping. Now, if all you've got to do is sit on the side of a mountain and wonder what one hand clapping sounds like, you're an idiot. See? If I can get to you, I'll help you with that. I'll let you hear one hand clapping. Bam! And knock you off that mountain, get you straightened out a little bit. Well, Lord have mercy. The human mind evidently is unlimited in one thing for sure, and that is the ability to fool itself. And there are people worshiping snakes, monkeys, rocks, the sun, the ocean, anything you can name. The Hindus have 200 million gods. I mean, 200 million, they can't even name them. You'd be dead before you got to the end of the list. Think about it. 200 million gods. Anything that moves or is God to them. The pantheists do it in our country. Hug a rock, hug a tree, you know. Get real. They'll do anything except to accept the truth. You'll not get to the truth if you don't believe in the Holy Spirit of God, because it is He who reveals it to you. You can hand this book to anybody. I don't care how many PhDs he's got, and if he's a literature professor or whatever, you can hand him this book to read. He'll read it as literature, but get nothing spiritually out of it. Absolutely nothing. If he's not saved, if he's not a born-again son of the living God. Because the Holy Spirit of God doesn't live with him, and he might as well be in Chinese to him. He'll not understand anything. And as plain as it is, you can point out to him, well, look, he still won't see it. It's unbelievable, but it won't sin. This is a book written by God. The people who wrote it were inspired by the Holy Spirit. It says, Posgraphe Theonostos in the Greek. And they said, you know a little Greek? I said, yeah, no one. Mr. Jimmy used to run Deluxe Diner. He was about this high. That's a little Greek, all I know. But I know Posgraphe Theonostos means God breathed, that the Spirit of God breathed into the people who wrote this book what they were to write. And that's how we got it. And if you read it written of the Spirit of God, you're not going to understand it unless the Spirit of God is explaining it to you. That's why some of you have trouble and say, I don't know, I try to read the Bible, but I don't get much out of it. See, better do a checkup. You get anti-Christian religions. Make no mistake about it, Islam is anti-Christian. Their goal is to kill all of you. They've got the press fooled, the TV's fooled. They're not hard to fool anyhow. Now they're fooling the rest of the government, and you're hearing this. Well, these are peaceful people. Please understand, in the Quran, it says that Jews, that God made them as pigs and monkeys, and it is Allah's will that the Muslims kill them. And that's what they're teaching little children in Islamic schools, in mosques, in this country. They have a form of fighting called the Quraysh. It's one of the things they do. And it is where they move into a country, and you don't become a Muslim. You are born one. If you're in that family, you're automatically a Muslim. And they're born, so they come in and keep having children in a country until they're big enough to turn on that country. They've done it from time immemorial. And for my money, they can throw them all out of the country in the morning. And it's not on religious grounds. This country, our Constitution, provides that if you come in and you are adamantly against the government of this country and mean to overthrow it, that is called treason by our law. And that is their stated goal, their written goal, that they're going to try to make the world Islamic and put it under a Muslim dictatorship and the laws that they have. That is their goal. They've stated that, and you still going to let them live in your country? You're an idiot. It's like storing rattlesnakes in your back room, hoping one day surely they'll get nice and won't bite you. It's foolishness. And, oh, well, we got to be the nice guy. I need to show you where Jesus wasn't the nice guy. Read a good statement of it. They said, you aren't very tolerant. And I finally found somebody on my side that said tolerance is a good thing for people who have no conviction. That's what tolerance is. And if you have conviction, you're not tolerant. You're not tolerant. If you against that book, I'm against you. If you don't like Jesus, I don't like you. If you want to kill Christians, don't try it with me. I'll kill you. You see, this is the Onward Christian Soldiers. I'm glad Bill Bruth did that. He's the only one got the name right of the Christian Church. Salvation Army. It's an army. We're to be at war. The problem with Christians is they think we're supposed to be at peace. Most of them don't even know there is a war. And so they're having religion all over the world now without the Holy Spirit of God. Our government's right in on it. They had a big thing at the United Nations not long ago. Saw part of it on television. They had the Baptists. They had the Episcopalians. They had the Jews. They had the Muslims. They had the witch doctors. They had the shamans. They had anything you can name, all out there, all dressed up. It looked like the Mardi Gras. They were all in different things and all jumping up and down because they were forming the Congress for the One World Church. We've been knowing it's coming for years, of course. It will be the church that the Antichrist will have his cohort beast. He'll have him run. He'll be head of that. In fact, we know the church that'll head it up. And they're having this meeting. And so to have a meeting of that magnitude, to get all the religions together, to start really forming it as one, they called on that great and notable theologian, true man of God from Atlanta, Ted Turner. Lord have mercy. They could have picked anybody in the crowd and done better. See? And here he is, a man who's anti-Bible, anti-God, anti-Christian, and anti-Christ, heading up the meeting for the One World Church. And they will form it, and it'll be, and Bill was exactly right. William Booth was right. Religion with the Holy, without the Holy Spirit will be a mark of the last days. And then he said, Christianity without Christ. And you say, how do you do that? Well, there's some good local churches I can take you to that will show you that any Sunday morning. They'll hold a sermon and never read out that book. They'll give 3 points in a poem, make you feel good, and give you pablum till you throw up, and you will never hear the fundamentals of the faith. Never. Well, we might upset somebody. Preacher, how upset you think they're going to be when they're cast into hell and they see you being cast in there with them and saying, one of us should have known better. One of us should have known better. You see, I don't understand how you can be at a church and behind a pulpit and even possess this book and portray yourself as a Christian and preach a Christianity without Jesus Christ. How does that happen? I don't know. Well, it didn't really fool me. McDonald's been selling apple pies with no apple in them for years. Frozen lemon pies have no lemons, all chemicals. I saw a pork chop made out of wood one time. Sure did. People ate it down in Jekyll Island, Georgia. The wood manufacturing, they had a whole dinner. The pork chops and the mashed potatoes and the vegetables, everything. And when they got through, their board of directors were having a meal. They announced that our chemists have made all of this out of wood. And I said, well, it's just one more thing. It's one more thing of the devil, isn't it? How to fool people and make them think they got some when they hadn't got anything. And that's what religion has done today. Christianity without Christ, they'll deny the deity of Christ. If you leave here and go to another church, you're more welcome to do that. We don't get mad at you. We're just so glad you're here this morning. But if you go into the church and you don't know for sure, you ask that pastor, what do you think of the deity of Christ? And if he starts hem-hawing, you back up, say, wait a minute, is Jesus Christ God Almighty or not? And if he hesitates on that, say, enjoyed being with you, you have nice seats, and leave. Get out of there. Man's lost, doesn't know the scripture, doesn't know God, and I don't want to fly with the pilot who's going to go and think he's going to Chicago. I want to fly with the one who knows he's going there. So get out of there. You'll find that they deny the virgin birth. The preachers right here in this town, large churches, big congregation, everybody smells good, it's powdered up, and here they go. You talk about the virgin birth, they don't know who you're talking about. They don't know the circumstances. They've never heard of it. They've never had it explained. And they'll say, well, of course, in our medical science today, we know that that doesn't happen. But nobody said it did happen today. We said it did happen then. Jesus Christ, if he wasn't born of a virgin, he can't be the Savior. You couldn't even be a Jewish priest if you had an illegitimate child 7 generations back. Let alone could he have been the Savior of the world. It's ridiculous. They'll deny the vicarious atonement that Christ died on the cross for you. They'll say, well, he was a nice guy, good philosopher, wonderful teacher, apparently a good man, and he did die as a martyr. No, no. The vicarious atonement means he atoned for your sins when he died. He died for you. You were supposed to. If your sins had been, if you try to pay for your sins, you can't do it. He said, I'll pay for them with my blood because my blood is God's blood. Acts 20:28. Look at it when you get home. And he died on that cross for you. The amazing thing is about that, not that he only did it, but had you been the only lost man in the world, he'd have still come through a virgin. it'd have still been God. He would have still led a sinless life, and He still would have died for you alone. That's the God I serve. That's the Jesus I know. That's why we're not tolerant, nor shall we be. They deny His resurrection. Well, we know something happened. We just don't know exactly what happened. What do you mean something? Define something for me. Here's somebody wrapped in 100 pounds of burial cloth, looked like a mummy, just been beaten almost to the point of death, just been crucified, laid down His life Himself. If He hadn't have, you'd still be hanging there, because He said, I give it up. I have the power to give it up. I have the power to raise it back up. And here He's lying there, guarded by the premium Roman guards. The one fact of history that can be won in any fair court is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Any fair lawyer looking at the book, getting the information, can win that case anywhere at any time. It's overwhelming evidence. And you got preachers standing behind pulpits in charge of people's souls denying the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I pray they'll find their difference before they see Him. They deny His return. Well, it's been so long. Just like I told you, it's been 2 days. I didn't complete Einstein's theory of relativity. Me and Tommy started reading that, but we didn't get through the whole thing. I do know basically what he was saying, that if you go to the beginning, that as you go, time decreases. It increases as it comes this way. An astronaut going to somewhere like Mars or Jupiter, he may be 40 when he starts, and he may be, by our counting, 50 when he gets back, but he'll be about 200 years old when he gets back. I can't explain that part. I just know they know that from physics, the theory Einstein had, and they deny things they know nothing about. Well, it's been so long. To God, there's no time. They don't know the ones who are denying His return are the very people He's delaying it for. He's delaying it in hopes that they will get in. For His will is that all men be saved. His will that all repent. His will that nobody goes to hell, because He devised it for the devil and his angels. It wasn't even made for man. And the very ones who deny His return are the very ones He's delaying it for, so they can get in. How thankless. How absolutely ignorant, if you can read. They deny His coming judgment. We're putting together a soul-winning course that will knock you to your knees. No more nice guy. The church has gotten in the 20th century. Well, they serve in pabulum religion. Don't want to hurt anybody's feeling. You won't hear a sermon on hell if you go to every church in town the rest of your life. They're scared to go make somebody mad. Son, it's time not only to make them mad, it's time to make people fear again and fall to their knees, because the message of this gospel isn't good old Jesus just back from the beauty shop, as you see Him drawn, being kind and nice. The message of that book is flee the wrath to come, that He is going to unload on this world, and He's going to do it in right fashion. You read Revelation 16 and 17, the vile and bold judgments when you get home. Take time to read them. Take time to find out what's coming to people who deny the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Find out who He is. You see, the Bible says, behold, the mercy and kindness and the severity of God. It says the goodness and severity. And believe me, He's altogether good this way and altogether wrathful this way. And the goodness He shall pour out on those who love Him, he shall do through eternity, this book says, that that's what it's all about, him showing his grace to those who love him. But just as far that way and just as much power that way will wrath be poured out on those who deny them. And don't you make any mistake about that. This is not the baby in the manger coming this time. This isn't the sweet little guy wrapped in swaddling clothes. This isn't the little Jesus you sung about in Sunday school. This is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, who will come with a rod of iron, he says, and every knee shall bow, and every mouth will confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. That's who's coming. I'd suggest you find out a little more about him. You get on his side. They deny the judgment. It's going to be sad when they stand in front of it, isn't it? They deny his word. Check them out, how many of them read the scripture to you. Check them out, how many preach expositorily, that they go down and just expose you to the scriptures, that that's what we teach. It's all I want to teach. It's all worth knowing in this world. It's the only thing that'll get you through this world and into the next safely. It's the most vital and precious information man has ever had. Need to find out about it. If you're not in Bible study, you get there Monday night. You haven't got anything more important to do than to learn what the Word of God says to you. There's nothing more important than that in your life. Promise me. It's not that I teach it. I'm the worst Bible teacher there is. But at least you'll hear some of it. You'll hear none if you don't come. So you don't deny his word, you revere it. And people, liberals say, well, y'all are lovers of the book. I said, I'm lovers of the living word and the written word. If you check closely, they're pretty close to one and the same. Forgiveness without repentance, not going to happen. Soul winning today is depleted down to, are you sorry for your sins? Yeah, well, all you got to do is accept Jesus and you go to heaven. You want to do that like you're talking to a 12-year-old. Well, yeah, I'd like to go there. Okay, you in. Then he can go on and do exactly what he was doing it with, as long as he wants to do it, and you've told him he's saved and going to heaven. Nope. No, accepting Christ without repentance will send you straight to hell. See, one time there were some Galileans and they went and they were having a meeting, Jewish of course, and the Romans killed them. And the Jews left behind said, oh, well, they must have done something terribly bad because they were religious people and they were good, godly people and they got killed. They must have done something bad because we got to live. And Jesus in Luke 13:3 says, hold it just a minute. Do you really think that can't happen to you this morning? Did I tell you no, except ye repent? You shall all likewise perish. Repentance is a fundamental change of heart and mind from sin toward God. We know from the parable of the sower, you know, where they sow the seeds and some don't grow and some get choked. You know the story. One out of four seed produce fruit. One out of four. We know when we hold revival meetings and have people come to the front and a lot of emotionalism gets into that and they mean well. And we know when it happens, one out of four got the message. If that. We know that you can talk to a man the way the church talks to him today and give them a namby-pamby gospel and give them that pamphlet and they'll make a commitment. They'll come down and join the church and a year later you can't find them. 98 out of 100. Why? Commitment's not strong enough. Didn't repent. Didn't fear God. Didn't say, wait a minute, he's going to do what? Yeah, to me, yes. Well, I better do what he says. You got it. You better find out and get you a Bible-believing church and a preacher who preaches that way and get under that and find out who you are, where you are, what you're supposed to do, what you're supposed to quit doing, and how you're supposed to live, else you are fooling yourself You have got religion, but you don't have salvation. Oh, I didn't know there was a difference. Oh, yes. Yes. You see, people don't like to change. Nobody likes to change. Why does everybody love their hometown? You go there and wouldn't live there if it gave it to you. Man, who would live in this backwoods community? You'll be up there. And they're saying, what a nice place to live. None of that beach traffic, none of the big city traffic. Aren't we lucky? And they take you away from home. Wherever you're from, you'll get homesick. Everybody likes their home. Nobody likes change. Change is a little scary. Well, we've been doing it this way this long. We'll just keep on doing it. That's what's wrong with most marriages. They're used to each other. Well, it's just become, you know, don't let that. No, that's your girlfriend. That's your sweetheart. See? We don't have much conversation, me and Miss Ann. Most thing we say to each other all day is probably say, I love you 100 times a week. That sounds ridiculous to you, but we get along pretty good with it. So I don't want change either. I hate these changes. America in here, should have brought my poem. I wrote a poem called America Gone one time. And it isn't like it was. I liked Mayberry. I liked leaving the door open at night. I liked knowing the kids on the street that if it came cutting up, you could say, listen, I'm going to whip you, then I'm going to tell your daddy, and he's going to whip you. And it was all right with the daddy. I liked that. I like that when everybody took care of each other, and me and Bobby used to meet on our bicycles, and he had a paper route, and we'd deliver it where we could go play football with some daylight left, and I'd help him, and we'd do that, and we did tear that one guy's paper up and throw it because we hated him, didn't we? Yeah, I remember doing that. Yeah, we'd always tear the front page of his up, and he was grumpy in it. He deserved it. Lord, forgive us for that. But, I like that, where you could ride your bicycle and meet the kids, leave your bicycle outside when you went in to watch Roy Rogers at the theater for a dime, and the bike would be there when you got back. And you didn't talk back to your mother, because if you did, your daddy would knock you across the room. That was the good days. See, then you respected her and you respected your parents. And to be very honest, I hate the world I live in. I'm glad I'm just passing through. I wouldn't live here all my eternity if you gave me the thing. There's no way. You see, if there's no change in a man's life when he finds Jesus, and he wants to be a Christian, and he sees how he has been and knows that that was piling up against him to be unleashed one day on him, piles up like a mountain, and at judgment day he's got to account for all of it, he needs to be told that. And once he's told that and sees a way out, if there's no change in his life, there was no forgiveness. And he didn't really accept the Lord Jesus as Savior. He just played a game. I laugh because Bobby and I are such good friends, and we know too much about each other for anybody to ask either one of us any questions. But that died. You see, we got crucified with Christ. That's over with. And I always laughingly say, Benny Hinn can bring up the lady whose back was hurting and now she's well, supposedly. And Oral can touch one and make the pain go away, supposedly. And they want to show you all these miracles. I said, when they come to me and they say, do you know of any miracles? I say, yeah, get in the car. Where are we going? I said, McGinnis's house. I said, why? I said, just listen to his conversation. You've known him for years, Eddie West, too. We're going to get down here. I said, Eddie, he sounds like a Bob Jones sophomore. And Eddie said, oh, no. I said, oh, yeah, because he knows Dr. Jones and the family and all that. He said, that's a miracle, isn't it? I said, yeah, and I'm one, and you're one. So we know. We've been there. We don't brag on what we did. We're sorry for what we did. Thank God he gave what we did. But listen, if you don't understand that if there is no repentance, that the judgments that you see, the vile judgments you're going to read, the bold judgments that you're going to read, and when you read that in Revelation 16, you're going to be in that. And I don't care where the hell is a lake of fire to you. I don't care if it's a hot place or a cold place, if it's outer space, if it's outer darkness, all those are mentioned. I don't care what it is, basically, because I ain't going. And I'm not going to argue you with what it is and where it is, because I don't care. I'm not going to be there. You better find out what it is if you're lost, because it's going to be your home for a long, long time. And God said, you best find out who I am and what I do. Revelation 16:9, he says, and on one of the judgments, just one of them, and men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. This is how hard-headed man is. I mean, it's not a preacher telling you about it, saying that sounds bad, and then walking away and saying, well, he could be wrong. I'll go on and do what I'm doing. This is in the middle of it. This is the last hours. This is the tribulation. The church is already gone. This is when the world is in such bad shape. You need to read 16 and 17, those judgments, what's coming. And now this judgment is a scorching heat. What will cause it? I don't know. But it's scorching their skin. And instead of saying, well, from what we've seen, we're losing. God help us. Be merciful unto us. We're sorry. Forgive us. Get me out of this. It says they will turn and blaspheme the name of God because the plagues are there. How foolish. But it's exactly what you and I do now, because this is as true telling about it as if you were standing in it. No difference. He said, I'll get you out of it. I'll let you bypass that. I said, thank you, Jesus. Bill here said, William said, no salvation. Salvation without regeneration is what they'll offer. Today is I saw a television program this week, and there were some of the mighty preachers being interviewed. I don't know how they found their way to the station. They said, well, church, today people come because they want to learn how to handle their lives better. They want to feel better about themselves. And I said, you're making it crystal clear who you've been listening to. You've been listening to the Crystal Cathedral. That poor man believes hell is when a man loses his self-esteem. Boy, is he in for a surprise. So people are preaching the positive thinking, do good, possibility thinking, act right, God will reward you, be healthy, wealthy, and wise, and let's be so glad that we're in this country and so blessed by him, as we make out our list to ask for more. That's the basic theology taught in churches today. No, regeneration means regenerated by the Holy Spirit, turned completely around, made a complete man, a new man in Christ. Old things have passed away. All things have become new, he says. You died when Jesus died, when you accept him. Well, how does that work? I don't know. I barely got out of college. I'm not in charge of that. Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, doing good things, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, being born again. It's the same thing that Jesus told Nicodemus. Understand, Nicodemus wasn't a guy just stumbling down the street that night. Nicodemus was one of the religious leaders. He was a seminary instructor, by the way. He taught the law. He also was on the Sanhedrin, we believe, which is Supreme Court. And here's this man coming tonight and finding Christ and saying, we just need to know more about you. We're seeing all this happen, and I'm not a stupid man, but what do I have to do? He looked at him and said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, which means truly, truly. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Talking to a theologian. and a teacher of what we would call preachers. And he said, born again. Do you mean a man my age, somehow, miraculously, I'm to re-enter my mother and be... He said, no. To be a bright man, you are so dumb, it's a joke. Jesus didn't say that, but if he ever lets me tell one, I will. How can you be that stupid? He said, well, what do you mean, born again? He said, look, when Adam, the federal head of the race, sinned, his spirit died. His body didn't. And that spiritual death, the spirit in man, has to be quickened, they call it in King James English. What it means is being born again. It has to be given life. You see, a man who doesn't know Christ, a man who hasn't been born again, a man whose spirit has not been made to come alive, is spiritually a dead man walking. He has religion, which is nothing. Pagans worship a rock. That's religion. I watched them going through in India. They had the cobras. They're bad to worship the cobras over there. I believe I'd have picked a garden snake. And they got these statues of the cobras. And they'd go by and pray to the cobra. And there was a man and wife there, and they were going to have a baby. And they were praying to the cobra that it would be a boy. Well, the cobra's got a 50-50 chance being cement, doesn't it? And the half that have the boy they ask for say, isn't he great? And those who don't say, we didn't pray hard enough. So the cement statue wins either way. How sad. There was a harlot, whore, streetwalker, prostitute. She was there praying. I don't want to tell you the cement object she was praying to, but it's used daily in her business. And I said, how sad. This woman honestly thinks that's religion and that's her God. How sad. You see, that's why our job is doing what we do. You see, unless a man has seen his sin, unless a man is willing to repent, unless a man is willing to be made anew by the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit of God, which not only renews you and places you into the family of God, but then comes and takes up residence in your body. Unless he's willing to do that, he has no salvation. He's fooling himself. Politics without God, Bill said. Boy, we don't have to go far with that one, do we? Understand the government of the United States of America, and we try to not turn our backs on the country. I think we got a good president. Whether you be whatever you are, at least we may get some Christian judges on the Supreme Court because of these last elections, and that'll be a good thing because our country is anti-God. Please understand that. We are the first generation to live in an anti-God America. It hadn't been that long ago since they landed up the street in Virginia and wrote the Magna Carta. And it said the very purpose of coming to this country was to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the primary purpose. And now in just 200 years, we've kicked him out of everything, including some churches. How sad. Well, we didn't have much trouble in schools when we were coming along. I know we used to open with prayer. It wasn't Billy Graham, but we announced that we believed in God. We had the Ten Commandments on the wall, and not many of us read them, but just knowing they were there remind us not to steal anybody's lunch money. We did come out being able to read our high school diplomas, and we did know right from wrong in the fifth grade, in the fourth, in the third, and even in the second and first. And see, you threw God out and said, get out of our classrooms and take your book with you. He said, okay. And then the anti-God and anti-Christian Muslims come and murder 3,000 plus people in New York City. And we get upset and say, oh, why did God let this thing happen? Because you didn't want anything to do with Him and ask Him to stay out of your business, so He did. Are you happy? Well, that sounds, I know what it sounds like. See, it's down to follow me or fight me. Please understand what God's saying. You are either with me or against me. You are either gathering or you are scattering, is what that book says. No middle ground. Antichrist. You go on Oprah, any of the talk shows, anywhere, be interviewed on television, they not only will frown on it, they will inform you before you go on that you are not to mention the name of Jesus Christ. Unless it's cursing. Lord have mercy. Pro-abortion. Pro-murder. Well, my opinion on that, I don't care what your opinion on that is. This book tells me when the Lord Jesus Christ was to be born of Mary and she went and visited Elizabeth, and she was going to have John, the Lord's cousin, that when the baby Jesus in Mary's womb appeared in that home, the baby inside Elizabeth jumped for joy. It wasn't a fetus, and it wasn't a piece of meat, and it wasn't an it, and it wasn't a thing. It was John the Baptist. Oh me, oh my. Well, what about these back alley abortions? They happen before and they'll happen after. The reason you have abortion today as I'm grown and you're grown is so you can hurry up and jump in another bed with somebody else. I did not fall off an okra truck. It interferes with your program. Wait till God interferes with your program. Pro-homosexuality, our government is. The Bible says it's not only a sin. Read the first chapter of Romans when you get home. Read it. That it's not only a sin, it is an abomination and stench in the nostrils of God. All sin's bad, all sin's wrong. God hates all sin. But to be doing something that is called an abomination and stench in the nostrils of God, I'd walk in fear. They say, well, God hates the sin, but loves the sinner. No, I don't know what preacher started saying that, but he lied to you. Psalm 7:11-13 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turns not, the wicked, he will whet his sword. He has bent his bow and made it ready. You are coming down on the Son of God and have chosen to do battle with him. Please understand that. If you think you can win that, you have at it. Bill said they'll preach a heaven without hell. He's right. You won't hear it mentioned today. On TV, I saw the program this week, and they were saying, no, we did a survey, and hell's not preached much anymore. And they asked these pastors, and they were, you know, liberal dogs posing as Christians. Well, that's not very popular anymore. Son, you don't preach to be popular. You preach to keep your friends from going to hell. I've met people that say, well, I'm having so many troubles, I think hell is right here on earth. I said, you live in a house? Yeah. Got the money in your pocket? Well, I got a few dollars. Got money in the bank? Less than $100, but yeah, I got some. I said, son, you just told me you in the top 7% of the world. Top 7% of the world. And you complain? Prosperity gospel is ridiculous. Lord, I have a new Ford and I just got to have a new Cadillac. The thunder you hear is probably his laughter. Get real. He didn't give Paul a new jackass. It's not about that. The entire New Testament, my friend, is about fleeing the wrath to come. Well, you one of them, I had somebody come in this summer, said, you kind of an old-fashioned preacher, aren't you? I said, yes, I am. It's the only kind that was ever fashioned by God. He said, well, you might even be one of them hell and brimstone preachers. I said, I'm so proud that you recognize that, because the greatest hell and damnation, fire and brimstone preacher who ever lived, you'll recognize his name. It was Jesus. He said, what? I said, of about 20 times that hell is mentioned in this book. He does it 19. Any questions? I just thought, we don't care what you think. This isn't a test. This isn't an inquiry. We're here to preach you the unadulterated word of God and let you deal with it. Revelation 20, 11 through 15. Need to read that. This is John taken to the Isle of Patmos. They tried to fry him twice. He wouldn't crispen up. Put him on the aisle. He hears something behind him. And it's God talking to him. The Bible that you probably have probably has the title of Revelation wrong. It's not the Revelation of John. It's the Revelation of Jesus Christ. And it's revealing who he is and what he's going to do and really giving people one more chance. And here's what he told him to write. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou don't do it. Don't do that. For I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. He said unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is just, let him be unjust still, and he which is filthy, let him be filthy still, and he that is righteous, let him be righteous still, and he that is holy, let him be holy still, and behold, I come quickly. My reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And it's going to be bad. It's going to be bad. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's not a fairy tale. That's the direct word from the Lord God Almighty. If you don't know him, you need to meet him today. Well, how do I do that? Well, as we sing, pray, admit yourself a sinner by choice. You've got a million sins you chose to do and a billion you didn't. The sins of omission, things you failed to do. Just like me. It's time to say, Lord Jesus, I understand how wretched I am. I understand I need a Savior. I've played church and I even signed one of the blue cards, that one of them. Went to the dinner on the grounds and everything. But I don't think that I've ever repented of my sins and said, Lord, forgive me. Wash me clean. Make me righteous before you. And I want to repent, which means metanoia, to turn and go in the other direction. I want my life to change. I want my mind to change. I want my will to change. If you've never done that, where you sit, you do that today. And I promise you that the Lord will do his part. Never turned anybody down. He's never thrown anybody out. He's only promised to love you forever. Whether you live with him forever is entirely up to you. I pray I'll see you there. Shall we pray? Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come and preach the gospel, that we can preach what the Bible says. I thank you that you'll allow me to handle it at all. I thank you that you trust me. There's someone here today who hadn't heard the gospel in its clarity and hadn't heard it, well, like it's really supposed to be, not because of me, but because of what was written. That they, maybe for the first time in their life, will say, I've been playing a game. I thought I was all right, but I'm not. I need to repent. Confess my sins to you, repent, go in the other direction, and ask that you regenerate me, that you make me a new man in Christ, and set me in another direction, that I may know that I shall live with you forever, and I may know that my sins are forgiven. Lord, in this crowd of this many people, there has to be dozens who need to do that today. I pray that they will. I pray, Lord, that the church was edified by hearing your word. I pray that you were glorified as we spoke of you. And I pray that you will save the man who is nearest hell. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake. Amen.